Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show, PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for hanging with us today. It is Thursday, April 14th. We're coming to you live from Maduro's Bar and Cigar and Tobacco located in Chandler, Arizona. Okay, everyone, there's so much going on. We've had play-in games. We have more play-in games. We have the NBA playoffs starting Saturday. We have baseball. We have a guy that was on the verge of a no-no, and they came and got him. Was that the right thing to do? Is that what we're doing now? If it is, it is. If it is, and it shouldn't be, let's get with it. Let's find out. Also on today, I am very happy to let you know who's hanging out with me today. It will be a freelance NBA writer with Dime and the Toronto Raptors. It is always great to have Katie Heindelon. She'll be with me in about 15 minutes. So that's going to be a good time. We will talk Raptors, their series with the Sixers, and talk about how we expect that whole thing to break down. All this happening right here on The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get on down there and check them out. Let them know the PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member, get your access to the members' lounge. And there's plenty of TVs. Watch all the sports you want. NBA playoffs will be everywhere. There's always golf on. There's hockey on now. There's baseball on. Everything ready, set, ready to go. Now, if you're not a member, there's no issues. Still plenty of great spots for you to sit, relax, enjoy your stick, enjoy the adult beverages they have here. Enjoy that great humidor where there's just a great selection of sticks. Now, if you can't make it in, no worries there either. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order early enough in the day. Your sticks will ship the exact same day. All that happens right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. But remember, when you're in the house, let them know that PLR sent you. I've been taking calls in a while. I think I want to do that today. 917-889-7828 is the number. 917-889-7828 is the number. Let's get a couple in before we get to Katie. Also, quick reminder, tomorrow is Good Friday, which means that's a vacation day for me. We'll not be on air tomorrow. Back live Monday getting into it with. So, well, let's get started. Like I said, 917-889-7828. Do have a call on hold. Thank you for your patience. You're on the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
My man, Lou, how you been, buddy?
All right. All right, explain to me this. You have your best pitcher going in. He's pitching the game of his career. Well, one, to be more precise, cruising through seven innings, doesn't give up a hit or anything, doesn't even walk a batter. You pull him out. Is there something wrong in this pitcher or just me that's thinking that? I mean, especially when you're best. It's Clayton Kershaw, for crying out loud, and you pull him out?
Yeah, that one kind of missed me. That one kind of missed me a minute. But, Lou, I'm in the middle now. I started in the outrage camp, and now I don't know if I am anymore after listening to him. So let me break down for everyone what you're talking about.
Okay.
The great Clayton Kershaw, probably the best left-hand pitcher in our generation, had a no-no going through seven innings. He had thrown 80
perfect
pitches.
Perfect game.
Used seven innings, and he had thrown 80 pitches. And the Dodgers are one of the most highly analytical teams in baseball. He reached the limit for what they had set for him. So even though he had a perfect game going, they came and got him. And the next pitcher on the very first batter he faced gave up a hit. And that's kind of the backdrop to everything. And Lou, here's what I think. I think it wouldn't have hurt to leave him in for another batter or two to see how he felt. I definitely wouldn't let him go over 100 pitches if that's the clock that they're on. I mean, I remember Johan Santana throwing like 140 pitches to complete his perfect game. So I think I would have left him in. If that next batter got a hit off him, I'm coming to get him. But I think I would have let him gone through that inning depending on how, you know, how he felt. Now, according to him, he didn't have his best stuff, and he was company man. He gave the big picture, long line. I'm here for the season, and I would expect nothing less from him because he's a classy dude. But I'm going to tell you though, Lou, I'm with you. I wanted to see what he had next. I didn't want him to wear himself out, but at the same time, if he couldn't get out of the inning another 7-8 pitches, now maybe I come get him. But I kind of those don't come along. There's been 23 in the history of baseball. So I think I would have given him a try. I agree with you on that. I think I would have given him a try on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't take it on a perfect game.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's hard for me to decide with that. But like I said, this isn't – baseball sports aren't the same – that they used to be. That's not how they roll anymore.
I guess not.
That's not how they roll anymore. Everything now is analytics. Everything is a breakdown. Everything is a count. Everything is on a clock. Everything is – it's not – managers don't use gut feeling anymore. They use pitch counts. There's an analytical guy upstairs somewhere letting them know, hey, this is where we are. Time to get them out. So that's everywhere now.
Or the song says this is how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fortunately or unfortunately, that's the game now. So I'm with you. Like I said, if he was outraged, and I think it just – see,
I
mean, here's the problem. I heard Johnny Bench say something earlier today. Kids are different, you know. And I was listening to another guy who talks about kid baseball. So when you were a kid and you played Little League, you play a little league, then you want to play a little bit of basketball, then you want to play a little bit of football. Then in the summer, you probably did some swimming. You probably did a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Nowadays, kids are throwing pitches like crazy, and they're tearing their arm out. And the other thing, we don't have young pitchers anymore. We don't have Greg Maddux who can't throw over 90, just pinpointing everything. Everyone now is a Roger Clemens thrower. Everyone is throwing as hard as they can. Well, when you start doing that to kids at the age of 11 and 12, they have no arm anymore. They've thrown more pitches. I read somewhere that a kid now has probably thrown more pitches between 12 and 21 than older pitchers threw between 12 and 32. Because you also, I'm sure, when you played Little League, you pitched. And then you played right field, then you played left field, then you played second base, then you played shortstop, and then maybe a week later, you got back to pitch again. These guys aren't doing that. These little kids are in traveling teams. They're pitching for a team one day and then pitching again. So their arms aren't the same. So I can see why analytics is coming into play a little bit just because you can't have people throwing their arms out when you're paying them. You know, $60 million a year, $50 million a year, $30 million a year.
Yes.
And then put them on Tommy John surgery forever. You just can't do that anymore.
No, you can't. Okay, I got two quick comments to make. Hey, NBA playoffs start this weekend.
Thank God. Yes.
I'm a little skeptic about the Nets, you know. I mean, considering what all they've been through this year and whatnot. And, of course, you got the Celtics who are my for my surprise pick.
What?
So, and I said that from the beginning.
I've got Brooklyn over them. I really do.
I'm saying Warriors Suns for the West to take it because I think those are just going to, you know, they're going to roll out past their competitions anyway. So that's almost a lock. Well, Grizzlies might put a little bit of something, but I still think, you know, I don't know if they got enough yet. And the Heat, well, the Heat, I think it's a toss really between the Heat and the Sixers to, the Heat, Bucks, and Sixers. Because that's going to be a tough finish for that conference. So I got to keep my eye on that.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I don't think the Sixers beat Toronto.
Ooh, okay.
I don't think they beat him. I think James Harden reverts to being James Harden, and I don't think they get by him. And I'm gonna give you another little nugget.
Okay.
How do you like how I use that word? If Steph is not healthy, and if Draymond doesn't get right, I don't think they beat the Nuggets.
Uh-huh. Nuggets worry me. Always seem well into on the regular season, but when it comes to playoff time, they really just fall apart.
But did you like the way I used that? I got a little nugget for you. That's kind of nice, wasn't it? That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's pyrite. It's fool's gold. Oh.
There you go.
Okay.
That's my man.
Speaking of a joke, we also know what happens this weekend, of course, don't we? Speaking of a joke.
You're gonna say it.
I know it. Let's just say by next week comes around, it might be the most four useless players in the English language, in the English alphabet, that is.
And what's that?
The USFL is back.
Oh, okay. I'm like, well, you lost. I'm interested. You're not interested in watching?
You are. Oh, good, good. I'm just wondering how people are going to be interested because, well, let me look at it this way, Paul. Look at it. The thing is that people think of football as the NFL and college. Everything else to them is just secondary, and I don't think a lot of people are going to be interested in watching a secondary league.
I agree, but I'm interested. I don't know why I'm interested, but I'm interested. I think it's going to be something. At least the first 2 weeks, they're going to have me. They are, for sure. Then let's see what happens. Look, it's like anything else. It's star-driven. It's quarterback-driven. But we'll see. But they have me. They have me right now.
All right. Well, I'll be tuning into it, of course, you know, for my own curiosity, or own stupidity, as the case may be. Oh, boy. So, well, because I may regret this.
Well, we all may. What are we really giving up, though? A couple hours to see what's
going
on?
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, when you factor in what's happened with, you know, the XFL, the AAF, and every other league that's come and gone, why should we think this is any different?
You know what? Let's see. We may have a new AFL on our hands. So what the hell? I mean, we have the Birmingham Stallions back. Look, I'm down with any team that has a group name as the Maulers. I signed me up twice for that. I'm all in.
Well,
I'll be
discussing on this week's show, Paul. So if you get a chance, you might want to call in. It might be fun. It might be a disaster. But I'll let you be the judge of that.
Sounds good to me. You know what? I may have a break in between our games too. I have three games this week to coach.
You're 2 hours or 3 hours ahead of me, behind?
Three. Behind. 3 hours.
Two to four your time, 5 to 7 mine. You know the number, right?
Leave it again, Gates, because even if I know it, they might not know it out there.
512-543-4662. I'll repeat it again. 512-543-4662. So we're going to discuss that, the playoffs, even the WNBA draft, possibly if there's time, and a whole other stuff. This is going to be an interesting week, so you might want to call in.
Sounds good. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up. Yep. Talk to you later. Good friend of the program, Lou. I'm in for the USFL, at least the first weekend. At least the first weekend. All right. We're going to jump out, pay a couple bills when we come back. We should have Katie calling in, so we'll do that right on the K-Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with Pierre Law."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, Cigar Sports Talk with The Cave Show. So check it out. Of course, you're listening to us live right now, which I really, truly appreciate. But if your schedule is not allowed, you can always check us out over at iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. Make sure you download the apps, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Then go ahead and download The Cave Show, as brought to you by Sports Cave. Cave is always, always, always with the K, and definitely check us out. Check out some of our past shows, our older shows. Everything is there for you to peep out. We're also on social media at the Sports Cave, on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook, again with the K. And I'm directly on Twitter at PLR on Sports. I'm down for the USFL. Everyone's kicking it. I'm not upset in mind. One of my two big upsets that I'm picking in the NBA playoffs. And I'm not doing it just because one of my favorite guests of all time is on with me. I'm doing it because I really believe it. And there's nothing like having a second when you have a thought in your head. Freelance NBA writer with Dime, Toronto Raptors, the one, the only, Katie Hindo. Katie, what's happening?
How are you doing? I'm so happy to be back, and I'm very flattered that you said I'm one of your favorite guests. I feel like that is that's really high praise, Paul.
Oh, well, it's true, because you know what? Whenever you come on, we have fun, and somewhere there's going to be laughter. I don't know what's going to happen to make it happen, but we're going to laugh about something over the next few minutes. So I am looking forward to it. And once the playoff picture was set, I was like, I've got to get her on, because it's going to be fun talking about the Raptors and the NBA.
Absolutely. Let's get to it then.
So let me go ahead and say this, because I think the Raptors are going to beat the Sixers, and I don't think they're going to just beat them. I think they're going to beat them in six. I don't think it's even going to be as competitive. I have no faith in my ASU alum guy, James Harden, and I have all the faith in the world in Mr. Van Fleet. So I'm telling you right now, I've got the Raptors. The Sixers can't even get their guys vaccinated the right way to get into the country. They're a mess. So tell me you're with me on that. Did you think the Raptors are actually going to beat the Sixers?
I'm heavily biased, but I will say that I'm kind of with you in terms of an upset, because I often think about teams, you know, in the postseason – who play with low stakes or like really not high stakes. I think about them doing well historically, you know, like they are at least surprising everyone. And with the season that the Raptors have had, like, this is a bonus season. You know, this was supposed to be a rebuild or kind of like a retooling season for the team. I didn't necessarily expect them even to get to the postseason, let alone be the fifth seed. And now, like, you know, they had as many injuries, I think, as you saw, like, kind of ripped through the Eastern Conference and the West, too. And the East was tough this season. And yet, you know, despite all that, or maybe because of all of that, they are where they are right now. And I think when you look at their matchups against the Sixers in the regular season, they've done pretty well. And when you look at their matchups historically against the Sixers in the playoffs, they do very well.
Yes. Yes. And let me introduce people to some people that they may not know because they play in Toronto. Let me introduce OG Anunoby. Let me introduce Scotty Barnes. Let me introduce a shrewd move in bringing Gary Trent Jr. over. Let me introduce these players that the Sixers, I don't believe, can guard, especially when they go up to Toronto, considering their best defender is still somewhere in Philly trying to figure out how he couldn't read a calendar to get vaccinated.
And I'm glad you made those introductions, because I think if you're not familiar with those guys, you're going to love them. I think Toronto is just like, they are such a defensively minded pest team, you know, like they're going to make your life a living hell. They love to make Joel Embiid's life a living hell, I think. And what this is really going to look like is like Toronto has a ton of length and like switchable defensive matchups to just throw at the Sixers to try and like limit all of their shooting. Obviously, you mentioned Matisse, like, not being able to come to Toronto with the team because of his vaccination status. He's probably the biggest threat for Toronto in terms of, like, shooting and what they can – the Sixers can throw at the Raptors for defense. But without him, they've got, you know, you've got a real home advantage. And then there's all the ghosts, I think, for Philly in this playoff series, you know. As I mentioned before, like, they have not been a reliable team in the postseason. I think with Embiid, the Raptors this season have held him to really limited scoring. I think in the last two games that these two teams played, he was only shooting something like 38% from the field, and he recorded more turnovers than assists. I'm not convinced that James Harden has really clicked yet with this team. I think it can happen. I don't know if it's going to happen in time. You know, Tobias Harris can disappear at times. So I just think if the Raptors come out really fast, strong and kind of hard and like show that switchability and that keenness that they have on defense, they could pretty easily overwhelm the Sixers.
I agree with you. I think the most dangerous person with the Sixers, because everyone knows what Embiid can do. That's not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
He's no joke. He's that kid. But I think the person that can surprise and have a great series is Tyrese Maxey. And I think if he has the ability, or the Sixers put him in the proper position, and he goes off, then I think that will then open up Tobias Harris. And now you have them both open. But the one thing you don't have to worry about, that you know is going to happen, at least half the time James is in the game, he'll cross the half-court line with about 19 seconds, and then you will hear dribble, dribble, dribble. Then don't forget to between the legs. So you get the dribble, dribble, and then a dribble, and then a dribble, 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 dribble. And then you look up, and there's 7 seconds, and everyone's looking at him like, damn, dude, just go ahead and shoot the step back at this point, because you ate up 13 seconds of the clock. And you know that's going to happen, and they become stagnant. And when they become stagnant, they become very beatable. And so I think that, and the fact that another thing I'll say, and this is going to hurt my feelings, just because he's a Chicago guy, Nick Nurse is going to outcoach Doc. So, to me, you put all that together, you get Toronto winning that series.
Yeah, I think the coaching thing is a really good point, because, I mean, Nick Nurse, he kind of like revels in these really strange lineups, and he's had to do them all season just because he hasn't necessarily had the personnel for it, right? So he's had to really fill gaps and get kind of clever when he's needed to. And what we've seen from Doc, like Doc is a great coach, but I think what we've seen from him this season has been a lot of frustration where I didn't necessarily think it was warranted, or, you know, I didn't necessarily anticipate that from him. And again, like the same way I think Toronto can overwhelm the Sixers on the floor, I think Nick can kind of do that to Doc's coaching schemes a little bit. And I also want to emphasize, like, I am not taking for granted just the pure shooting potential that the Sixers have over Toronto. I think, again, like, the name of the game will be Toronto trying to limit that as best as they can through those, you know, switchable defensive matchups. But, I mean, if you can limit all that, again, I just go back to the stakes being so low for Toronto, you know, this whole season, and that the fact that they are where they are now and kind of wanting to take everyone by surprise. And, you mentioned Fred VanVleet, and, like, there isn't a more cool-headed player, I think, in the entire league right now. You know, a part of me was really missing Kyle Lowry for, like, especially, like, in the postseason, because that's the guy who manages to hold everything together when things look like they're starting to go a little bit sideways. But Fred VanVleet's been from the best in that, and like he's done that all season. So this will be a test for him, I think. But like, this is there isn't anyone I really trust, you know, more to take this team forward.
So Katie, I got to ask you this now. I don't know what the air is like in Toronto. It seems like good air. everyone seems like they're even-minded, even thoughts. Nothing crazy radical goes on. What are the Lakers thinking that Nick Nurse would be nuts enough to possibly leave Toronto to go to L.A. for that hot mess that's happening there when your best player, after every series now, after every game, is basically saying this?
I mean, they pretty much just kicked their asses. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
You can insert every team. So tell me Nick Nurse is not nuts enough to take that gig.
I guess that's just like the delusions. Maybe it's just the delusions of Hollywood at play. But I mean, look, like Nick Nurse, I will say Nick Nurse is a coach that has come to really love the spotlight and the bright lights, I think. But all like, I don't think he's also a very level-headed guy. And I think he realizes that, like, you know, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster have essentially handed him the keys with this franchise, and they've empowered him and his coaching staff, you know, to, like, build the team in his way, get a little bit funky, do what he wants. He's not going to have that kind of control with every other franchise, and he's definitely not going to have that with the Lakers. You know, like, that's not a coachable team in that sense that you go in there and you have full control. Maybe that's how they try and, like, coax you there. You know, maybe Pelinka is in your ear and saying, like, yeah, we're going to run it differently. But, like, if the Lakers have proved anything, it's that they are kind of, like, really married to – what's the definition of, like, you try something over and over again is, like, the definition of insanity?
Insanity, yep.
So, like, that is what the Lakers – and LeBron James are trying to do every single season with just this very weird way of team building that clearly doesn't work anymore. The coach not being in control, like poor Frank Vogel. I feel like he was just in one of those like old mine cart rides at like Disney or something. He was just strapped in. He like did not have any control. He had no steering wheel, so to speak, at all, you know, and he just had to make the best of it. I think he's like, maybe he'd be a little bit of a sigh of relief to be out now. But again, like someone as clear-headed as Nick Nurse doesn't look at that team and see, oh yeah, you know, like any good coach wants to turn a team around and be the one to do it. I think like all coaches think that way. But I also think a smart coach realizes where that's a complete illusion and you're not even going to have the power to do it. And that's the case with the Lakers. So I don't think Nick Nurse is going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and if he is, like I said, not that dumpster fire, in my opinion. I'm live here on the Cape Show with Bill Otto, Katie Otto with freelance NBA writer with Dime and the Toronto Raptors. I've got to ask, I want to do this kind of quickly because I'm going to kind of put you on the spot with some of these series. And you don't have to give a long breakdown. You can just kind of tell me which way you're leaning. Jazz Mavs, who are you going with in that series?
Ooh. I think I'm going to go with the Mavs as much as the Mavs annoy me.
Okay, you set it up, so now I've got to ask, why?
Well, I will say, like, the Jazz just have – they seem to be having some internal problems right now. You know, I generally think that is a more cohesive team. But the Mavs, when you just kind of look at their – shooting power. The Mavs annoy me because I think Luka's claim that he was going to stop yelling at the refs, I don't actually think that's happened. He's just a very bratty player for me to watch. I think Mark Cuban is a maniac, not in a good way. It's just the Mavs are like certainly not my favorite team or franchise, but I think they'll be able to come through with the Jazz.
Timberwolves, Grizzlies.
Ooh, gotta go Grizzlies.
Okay. Nuggets, Warriors.
This is tough because it's like, I just feel like you can't bet against Steph Curry for anything, even if, you know, Klay Thompson's not playing so well. But again, I think Jokic is kind of a man of, he's missing Jamal Murray, and I think he's really going to miss him in a postseason situation. So I think that's going to be a long series. I'll say Warriors in seven.
Okay, I'll let you go ahead and hurt my feelings now, knowing I'm from Chicago.
Oh.
Bulls, Bucks.
I want the Bulls. No one, maybe you probably more than me, but, like, to see DeMar DeRozan, like, thrive in a playoff situation, no one wanted that more than someone from Toronto who's seen him, like, take his knocks in the postseason with the Raptors. But as kind of, you know, beat up as the Bulls are looking now compared to where they were a few months ago, I'm really sorry, Paul. I got to say Bucks. But it's going to be
honestly, I think 4-1. I think the Bulls squeeze out one of those. You're not going to celebrate on my home court type victories, but they just don't match up well. They just simply don't have the size and muscle to go against the Bucks. So the Nets
and
the Celtics.
Feel good. The last thing I'll say about that is you got to feel good knowing the Bulls, they're going to be back there next season, no problem.
Yes, yes, and they're going to trade. I hope they trade a person I like in Coby White, because they need size.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ayo
Dosano has proven that he can take that spot. And with Caruso and with Ball and with Zach, I think you're set at guard. You don't need the fifth guard. You need that fifth guard like you need that fifth drink at the bar. You really just don't need it. If you have an Uber waiting for you, fine, what the hell, go for it. But they don't have enough of those other needs to satisfy five guards.
No, they don't have an Uber waiting.
No, there's no Uber. They got the key. They can't afford the Uber. They spent all their money at the bar, so they're done. The Heat against whomever they play.
I'm all in for the Heat, but they had a very good last part of their season, and I want that for Kyle Lowry. You know. Like more than anything, probably. So that's really going to come down to the matchup, I think. But I think that he can do it. Even if Jimmy just vanishes, you know, give that guy a couple more coffees, he should be okay.
and then the Suns against either the Pelicans or the Clippers.
It would be sad if the Clippers. I know the Clippers want to win, but I think the Suns have just been quietly proving how good they are all season. For some reason, we've all ignored it because nobody likes just like seamless, perfect basketball. But I think the Suns are out for it this season.
You know what's really funny is, and I've said this a bunch of times, and you know that's the team that I actually cover. They're not TikTok. They're not YouTubeable. They're not that team. If anything, they remind me more of the Spurs when they were winning, when they just go out and do their job, and then they win, and then they go home, and then they come back and they kick your butt again. But they're not, you're not going to find them on a bunch of videos. You don't see them saying outlandish things. There's no drama. They actually like each other. They actually get along. And I think when you have all that, the nation doesn't know them. And it salts my hide. I was on a local show about 3 weeks ago, and I said it socks my hide when I hear national media, who now all of a sudden comes to Phoenix to do something other than golf, and all of a sudden they're experts when they're not here. And so I find it funny, but this team just goes about their business, and I think whoever they play now, here's what's crazy. I think they'll get rid of the Clippers easier than the Pelicans, and I'm actually – rooting for them because Willie Green was an assistant last year for the Suns under Steve Williams, and they've played them well all year because they use a like system, switch a lot, do a lot of things the exact same, and sometimes it's hard to beat yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror. So I would rather see the Clippers than the Pelicans, but either way, I think it goes from a 4-1 series to a 4-2. So I'm on the side, and you probably didn't need that whole breakdown analysis, but I gave
no,
it
but
to
I
you.
Appreciate
anyway.
It. Anyway. No, I appreciated it, and I want to say I have been in the Suns' corner all season, kind of just like that crazy person motioning to what it's like, is no one else seeing this? Like, they're worth your attention. It's just, like you said, people, there have been a lot of other distractions, you know, to quote you, dumpster fires just a little bit to the west, to like, you know, get people's attention off the sun. But I think if anything, that's just empowered the sun more.
One thing that I did, I will say, and this is kind of a little selfish, last year, actually covering and being at a playoff game after when, okay, so true story. I started covering the Suns the year after their last playoffs with Steve Nash. And then for all those years, we always did the players shutdown, not the players rest. And we all know when you shut players down, you're not going to playoffs. When you rest players, you're getting ready for the playoffs. Never covered one Suns playoff game because there weren't any until last year. So after drinking that liquor last year, I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to be in the arena packed in to the auxiliary press box because you know what happens. You get the good press seats through the season, and then all of a sudden in the playoffs, ESPN sends 9 people. So you get pushed.
You get bummed, so yeah.
Yes. So you end up, you know, instead of 24 rows up, you end up in the mezzanine level with like 9 other people that you've never seen in your life all squeezed in with your laptop. But we're in the building, so I'll take it. The only series that I'm gonna push back on, because I think we agree with everything, I think the Jazz have a good chance to beat the Mavericks because Luka's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And without Luka, I think he controls the ball. What? I know he controls the ball because his usage rate is ridiculous. So much come playoff time, I think it's the wrong time to change your offense to get everyone else flowing when you take out the guy that always has the ball. So I'm going to actually go with the Jazz in that one. No further, but I'm going to go with the Jazz because Luka's hurt.
I mean, I hope you're right. I would prefer that immensely.
He does whine a lot. He does.
He can't help it. It's just how his face looks, I think.
And the NBA did him a favor by rescinding that last tech on him, too, which they shouldn't have done. But superstars. Last thing before I let you go. So we'll kind of do this in a speed round. Who would you want to be the MVP of the year?
Ooh. I mean, I like Jokic. I do. I like Jokic a lot. For what I had mentioned earlier, like, he's just holding this down on his own, I think. You know, his numbers, his performances night after night. And what I really like about Jokic is he does it so kind of doggedly and really quietly. He's, like, no muss, no fuss kind of player. Like, I can't help watching him thinking, like, he's just waiting to go home and like race his horses that he does every summer. Like, I feel like that's all he's playing for. He's just playing to get out of here, you know, like eye on the prize. But I also just think it's like, it's incredibly impressive what he's done. So I think you could give it to Jokic.
Coach of the year.
It's gotta be Monty. I think, man, like for what we were saying, you know, what he's done, what he did last season, coming into this season, you basically have run your whole squad back. You've added some phenomenal play. We didn't even talk about Bismack Biyombo. You know, I love Ish Wainwright. Like, there's a lot of good, new, slight little tweaks and pickups. But otherwise, you've got your whole team intact, and you're trying to do – you're just – it seems so seamless. Like, it seems like there was not a break for these guys from last season into this season. And he's just one of the most positive, I feel like one of the most positive forces in the league. And he's so much fun to watch, coach.
Defensive player of the year.
I like Bam. I'll say, like, maybe he's like not top of the list for a lot of people, but I think Bam Adebayo is probably behind Miami's very good defensive rating and just like defensive capabilities overall. And I think those have really come alive. Again, I'm incredibly biased, but I think those have really come alive under like the floor organization of a player like Kyle Lowry. But Bam just keeps getting better season over season.
And then lastly, who wins it all?
oh my gosh. I want it to be the Suns. I want, you know, I want, this is the ultimate power of the Suns, that they have made Chris Paul infinitely likable, even if you did not like him before. I want him to get a ring. So I want it to be the Suns. I'll say the Suns.
Okay, so this is going to sound very, I won't even say the word. I'll let you call it what you will as soon as I say it. My MVP, as much as I like, actually Jokic is one of my top five favorite players in the NBA. It's not even close. I love that guy. I think Devin Booker is the MVP. I think the numbers that he put up on the team that is by far the best team in the NBA, with Chris Paul out for 6 to 8 weeks earlier this year, and they didn't miss a beat. I think it says something about the way he's matured into being a leader. I think his game is complete. He's no longer just a scorer on a bad team. He's putting up over 26 points a game on a winning team, along with 6 assists, along with 6 rebounds. And what's crazy is his numbers are the exact same numbers that Kobe had the year Kobe won the MVP. So to me, all that ties in. And if you're going to say one of the top five greatest people could win his only MVP, which is a sin in itself, could win an MVP award with these numbers, how does it not then translate to the guy that's doing the exact same thing on a team that they could have went on a 12-game losing streak to end the year and still would have had the best record in the NBA? So there's my MVP. My coach of the year, Monty, because he got hosed last year by that magic act that Tibbs did in New York, which, notice, magic doesn't always happen. Can't keep doing the same trick. No. We figured out where that milk is going when you pour it in your fist. So so that's Monty. My DPOY is Mikal Bridges. That dude is he's a Swiss Army knife. He guards the 1, 2, 3, and 4. Wherever you need him, he goes and guards them. And I think wings sometimes get forgotten how good they actually are playing defense. It's easy to give it to the big man, the guy that's going to clean up the middle. I think it's a lot harder to give it to wings when they actually do the most dirty work in terms of having to guard so many positions. We're not going to ask Bam. We're not going to ask Embiid. We're not going to ask, I can't think of his name now, the big guy from Utah. We're not asking him to step out on the perimeter and guard guards or guard threes or guard twos. But we're asking Mikal Bridges to guard four positions. So there he is. Mm-hmm. And then I think the Suns win it all. I've said it since day one, and I think they're going to win it all. So go ahead. You call me the homer now, but I think I have some justification behind everything that I said.
I mean, you really did. And I feel like Rudy, you meant Rudy Gobert. It's okay. He's had a couple of these. He doesn't need another one. You know, let somebody else have the glory, Rudy. I won't call you a homer. I like this prediction. I like having every award go to somebody from the Suns. I mean, these ones anyway, you know. But no, I'm not against it. I feel like it's what the Suns. I feel like it is what the Suns are due. After you made a great point about Tibbs, I totally forgot about that. That is just like, yeah, bad. Like, I'm trying to think of what. That's just like a bad Vegas Magic show. That is like an off the strip Magic show. What Tibbs did, you know, and Monty, yeah, like Monty's actually doing the real thing. I think it's definitely due to him. It's a great point about wings. I think I see that like night after night with the Raptors players. Like it is a lot harder. It is a lot harder to ask those guys to do it all. Mikal Bridges has been great. And I see your point about Devin Booker and Chris Paul, too. Not to just blindly agree with you, but I guess I am. But I think when you look at the maturation of Devin Booker this last season and this season, it is leaps and bounds. If you asked me even, like, 2 seasons ago, right, like, if he would be this kind of player, I would have said no way, not yet. But he's a completely different player now. And I really like him. Another player I used to find very annoying. Now I'm just rooting for. So you've convinced me, Paul.
Let's see, there it was. You know what? All those years of majoring and communications finally paid off. You know what? I can go home and say ASU finally did something right for me. they didn't just take my money for 5 years. They actually did something. Feel better, just like that. So, all right. Tell everyone where they can get you and where they can find you online and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at whatevs, WTEVS. That's where I'm posting all my latest work. As you mentioned off the top, I'm a feature writer at Dime. Everything else is freelance and all over the place, so Twitter's the best place. I also have a newsletter called Basketball Feelings, and you can find that at basketballfeelings.com.
All right. Well, like I said, I told you at some point there would be fun and laughter, and it only took a minute in, and that's why, like I said, I love having you on.
And I love being on. It's not a tough assignment. It's fantastic.
And the one thing you're not going to get with me ever, because I'm an older guy and I had someone on before and they will never be on again. And if they're listening, I'm not going to say their name, but they know who they are. I tried to talk basketball with them, and all I got was the percentage win share of this person is X percent versus, and I'm like, dude, did you watch the game? Like, did you watch the game? Like, I get analytics is a thing, but are you watching the game? Well, you know, if you really look, some of what Jordan did, if you take his win share and place, I'm like, bro, you're killing me.
Oh.
Did you watch the game? So,
yeah, like, and also, do you enjoy watching the game?
Yes. I'm like, good Lord, man. I know you're good with these analytics, but you're killing me. I don't think anyone, you may have had my, I feel like saying, I hope someone is listening to me based on what we've done in the past, because hell, I turned this one off myself. I may not even put this one up, because if they didn't catch it live, I'm not going to make anyone sit through the replay. So we need to talk. We just need to have a conversation. I don't want to ask 8 million questions without a conversation. I see the stats. They're right on my computer. We're good. And has not been back on since. And probably won't ever be back on again until I can get the robot part of him out and the human part of him back in his body. So, yeah.
Well, good riddance to that.
Well, to the person with the coolest handle, whatevs, I absolutely love that. That's one of my favorites too. Thank you so much. And when the playoffs wrap up before the draft, let's do this again and see where we landed with our picks and all that stuff.
Please, I'll come back anytime, and thank you again for having me, and I'll be thinking of you and the Suns when they win it all.
And I will be with you through that first round when they are giving the Sixers hell. You may even get a tweet. You may get a tweet from me, which will get me in trouble, because a good friend of mine writes for the Philly Inquirer and covers the Sixers. So I know when I start putting up, the Sixers are going to choke. I know my phone's going to ring. I may have to ignore it when it rings, but I know it's going to ring because I'm definitely going with the Raptors. But thank you. Enjoy this, the playoffs, and stay warm up there because I think we're 90 down here.
Oof, I don't know what we are in Fahrenheit today, but the sun is out, and it feels like it might as well be 90 to me.
All right, Katie, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
All right, talk soon. The one, the only, Katie, I'm always great to have her on. One of the most fun guests I have. I love having her on. All right, listen, a couple other things we need to get to before we wrap this bad boy up. What a fun show. Love talking basketball with someone that actually talks basketball, not on analytics. Some news and notes in regards to NBA playoffs. Steph Curry, full practice. He's going to be a go, so that should end up being a good series all the way around. Patrick Beverley has been fined $30,000 for his obnoxious use of language after the playoff series or the the play-in win against the Clippers. Pat Bev is a different dude. It's just a different dude. For every reason you like him, is every reason you don't like him. He's that guy. Quick notes, the Cardinals are bringing back A.J. Green for one more year. Sammy Watkins has signed a one-year deal with the Packers. Those are quick news and note things that are actually happening. And then I forgot, and I apologize, that last segment was brought to you by Scott and Sullivan's Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821, 602-410-4821. Tired of wines being served with additives, preservatives, sugars, all the things that make wine drinking not as much fun, make sure you get a hold of her. It's wine done the correct way, all natural, no additives. That's Scott and Sullivan Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821. I am so ready for the USFL. Yes, I'm in. I want to see what it's like. I definitely want to see what it's like. I'm not one of those people, you know, that's going to poop on it already. I want to see what it's going to be like. So let's get a feel for it. Let's give it a try. What do we have to lose? What else are we going to be doing on Saturday afternoons until the playoff game starts? If it's good spring football, it's good spring football. Hopefully they do it right. If we as consumers treat it for what it is, not a competition for the NFL, but a feeder league, a builder league. Guys that want to get a good look to go to the NFL. Guys that want to just play football because they love it. If we look at it for the right reasons, maybe we'll enjoy it more. Instead of thinking, oh, well, that guy, he can't play in the NFL. If we look at it like that, we won't enjoy it. But that's life. When you look at things for a negative reason, nothing positive happens. Let's treat it for what it is. It's a spring football league. Not college. Guys are getting paid. Well, they get paid too now, but hold on the story. Listen, everyone, don't forget we are off tomorrow. There will be a best of show. We will be back Monday to talk about the first games in round one of the playoffs. Very much looking forward to that. And we'll talk a little bit about the USFL. The Diamondbacks are 2-4. Off to a fun start last night, almost at overtime. Extra innings against Houston. Near left fielder just dropped the ball. However you can get a win, you get a win. No one will care about that win 2 months from now if the Diamondbacks are over 500. This has been the Cave Show. It's brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. We're here every single Thursday. Cigars with Cave Show, Sports Talk Radio. So that... it's always where we are. You come down, you can check us out, you can hang live while we do it. There's a couple guys here now just checking out the show, listening to us. We absolutely love that. Follow us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram. Cave is with a K. At Sports Cave is the best way to keep up with us on all our social media platforms. You also can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Our website, thesportscave.com. is being redesigned. It should be ready shortly. Once it comes up, have all new features, all new things on it, ready to roll. So I'll do an update. It had been 7 years since we did the last major update. We're about to do the next major update now. Everyone, thank you for joining us. Be safe. Enjoy your 3-day weekend. Take care of each other. And most important, love each other. Real simple. Until Monday. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR Temps. Bring us all.